Good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It's been a beautiful day this Thursday, September 14th, 2017. And we'll have the phone lines open if you want to give a call in a little bit later tonight. Have a few things want to go over first. But hope you've had a blessed day today. Got to talk with a few of the remnant today on the phone and some text and emails. And boy, from mowers running to protection being still being, God still being praised for the protection and deliverance through the storms and the hurricanes in Texas and Florida. Stories still coming in. We'll try to mention a little bit of those tonight to try to encourage you, to let you know that our God is that refuge in the storm. Still today, here in September 2017, He is still saving His people. He is still, well, allowing His people to turn and to pray to Him. And we sure thank Him for that. Well, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and then we'll get on with the program tonight. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord. Thank You for this day of life that You so graciously gave us. Father, thank You for this evening, this time that You give us here, Lord, to be on the radio, to tune in, to have fellowship with one another over the shortwave and the internet and through the audio satellite. Father, thank You for the opportunity to have fellowship with You as we read Your word, as we think and contemplate and meditate on Your word, Lord, and how it applies to each and every one of us today. Lord, we thank You for Your loving kindness, Lord. Guide and direct us. Guide and direct me, Lord, in this broadcast tonight. Father, give me the thoughts to think, the words to say, to edify Your people, to encourage them, Father, to love and good deeds. Father, that each and every one of us would have that light of Christ shining from within us, shining out into this dark world, bringing light and hope to those that are lost, to those that have no hope, Lord, to those that, well, have done what they think is all they can. And it's certainly not enough, not without You. Father, thank You most of all for making a way, for having Your Son, Jesus Christ, come and in obedience, Lord, to take our sins, to stand in the gap for us, to be that sacrifice that we could not be, to offer that blood once and for all, to forgive us of our sins, to heal us of our diseases, to bring us back into relationship with You. And I thank You for that, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for doing that, for saving a wretch like me. And thank You, Lord, for being our provider. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for being our rock, our salvation, but also our hope Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for the deliverances that we saw through these storms, Lord, for the stories time after time that come in of you saving your people, of there being circumstances where people should have died or been severely injured, and you just delivered them through it, Lord, through the flood, through the rain. And now, Lord, we do continue to lift up those people and ask for your health to be upon them, Lord. The mosquitoes are getting bad down in Texas, and they're about the same way in Florida. Lord, we pray your hand on your people. We pray your mercy to continue to surround those that are yours, those that claim you as Lord, Savior, and King, that you continue to bless them and protect them, Lord. And we thank you for it. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray all this to the glory of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ. In his name, amen. And amen. Well, where do we go? Where do we start? Got notes all over here. Hopefully you're reading your Bible. We're going to come back to the Bible reading plan here in just a little bit. But this weekend, Sunday, starting at 1 o'clock, through Monday at 1 o'clock is the next 91st day. I want to make sure we remind you of that. We encourage you to observe that day as a Sabbath. Now, we'll be having our regular church services Sunday morning at the LaPorte Church of Christ starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern. And we encourage you to join us. You can come and fellowship with us and take part. And our prayers that it will be a blessing to you. And you can invite your friends as well. You can join us at scriptures4america.org and at starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern, click on the live video stream and you can join us. Just like you were sitting right there in the church pews in our little church in LaPorte, Colorado. Well, 91st days, and we see these are, you can think of these as Sabbaths between the seasons. When you go back and when we read and think and contemplate on the Bible story, we see that God's people have always been an agricultural people. And God puts, his plan is to have plenty of holidays, plenty of time off. We certainly are to, in any type of agricultural endeavor, it entails hard work, whether it was raising the sheep and the goats and the cattle in the Bible days or doing it today. It is long hours and hard work. But God, in his infinite mercy, he gives time off. He gives his creation time to rest, time to relax, time to worship him, time for fellowship, time to come together. And so these 91st days are, they fall right in line with that. They are Sabbaths between the seasons. When you see on your calendar, summer, you can look outside and tell, you can feel the nip in the air in the evening, the nights are cooling off, the days are getting shorter. We've already had sunset here. We're in a pretty long twilight right now, looking out the window here at the Radio Ranch. And that is what these 91st days are, and so much more. So much more. They tie right in with the Passover day, and they are, as Pastor used to describe them, the 91st days and the Passover are like the four fingers on your hand, and then the thumb likened to Passover, like the thumb day. Remember that each day begins at noon. We have to adjust for daylight savings time. That's what almost every state here does. We do encourage you to read and pray the 91st Psalms on these 91st days and observe them as Sabbaths if at all possible. If you can get time off from work, if you can take a day to where you can honor this day as a Sabbath, we encourage you to do so. If you can't, well, Romans 8:1, that promise is still there for those that belong to Christ. If you'd like more information on these 91st days, we do have a 91st days packet, we call it, and it includes some of the original writings and original research papers that our pastor did and used way back from 2001 and before. And you can read it at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. You can order it, the 91st day packet. We'd sure appreciate a donation to go along with that, help cover some postage. But we do encourage you to observe that this Sunday after the regular church service. We've got Volume 6 of our Dragon Slayer newsletter out in people's hands, The Courts of Heaven, Volume 6. It's been emailed out. It's been mailed. If you have not received it, and you normally do receive our newsletter, if you'll contact me here at the office, I'll figure out why, whether we have to update your address or email, and we'll get it to you. The Courts of Heaven, it's an article by the Ramrod, and oh, what an eye-opener it is. It's not something we really think about. Thankfully, I have not had a lot of dealings with man's court here on this earth, and so had not thought a whole lot of the courts of heaven, but boy, it is biblical, and it sure makes a lot of sense. The previous newsletter, Volume 5, had a main article in it entitled Signs, and in that we talked about the solar eclipse that came across the country on August 21st, and as well as the next scheduled solar eclipse, which is scheduled for April 8th, 2024, and it is scheduled to cross the country in a crossing manner. And when you look at the map, when you look at the way these two solar eclipses, how they put just a big X right on the country, sure seems like a sign. We hear that. Here's your sign. Well, America, Christians, here's one of your signs. There's also signs going on very quickly that will be occurring next weekend. They've been occurring. They've been being lined up since the beginning of time. But it is a quite an interesting celestial alignment. And again, it's been going on. I just wanted to share a little bit, a couple paragraphs from this article in the newsletter. Again, if you would like, we've got extra copies. We printed a few extra. If you'd like some to hand out, you can just contact us and we'd be glad to send you some. We've had several people request that, 5, 6, half a dozen, 10 to give out. These are signs that the Lord gives. So here, just a little bit from that newsletter. Jupiter, which is also known as the King Planet, has an interesting orbit. For the past several months, it's been in an area that can best be described as the womb of the constellation Virgo. And of course, Virgo is Latin for virgin. According to astrologers, it entered that womb area on November 20th, 2016, and it left that area. See, now it left it 5 days ago on September 9th after a visit of being in the area of the womb of the Virgin for 42 weeks. And that's a normal gestation period. Also, coming up on September 29th, the moon will be visible at the bottom of the constellation Virgo. The sun will be approximately where the shoulders would be in human terms of the constellation Virgo. And three more stars, or wandering planets, as they're sometimes called, Mercury, Mars, and Venus, they will all be in alignment above the constellation of Virgo, right along the constellation of Leo. Now, these three extra stars, Mercury, Mars, and Venus, we know they're planets, but they look like stars in the sky when you look at them from here. They, in alignment with the nine stars, again, that make up the constellation of Leo, they will then make a total of 12 stars in the constellation of the Lion, Leo, at the head of Virgo. And so we see this alignment of the sun and the moon and the stars And when we read Revelation 12:1, yeah, let's read it. Revelation 12:1 says, "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth." And I stopped there. When women are in birth, they do cry out. They are in pain. Most of us recognize that. It says it's a great sign appeared in heaven. We are seeing that very sign happen in our day, in our week, at least in this month. We are seeing this happen. From the solar eclipse to this alignment of the stars, a retelling of the birth of Christ. And not just it, but was it not prefaced with, they called it the Great American Eclipse? I remember seeing that on even advertised here in Laramie and in places. That's what they called it, the Great American Eclipse. So that got people looking up. That got people back somewhat interested in the heavenly bodies and what's going on, not just on our cell phones, but what's going on in the world. Between the fleeting shadows that cross the land in these solar eclipses, one just recently last month and another one 7 years from now, the sign that is, as well as the sign of the retelling of the birth of Christ in the stars, tell me that's not a sign. Tell me that's not a warning from a patient, loving God calling his people out of darkness, giving examples and opportunities for his people to look up. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." So we've had the eclipse. We have these stars aligning right now. We have had two Category 5 hurricanes hit the mainland of the United States. That has never happened before in the same year. Never happened before. 52 inches of rain fall on Texas, setting a new continental United States record. I think a hundredth of an inch more of rain fell in Hawaii one time before Hawaii was a state. And that in recent history, that's about as far back as people can go. And so 52 inches of rain, get your yardstick out, mark that on the wall at 36 inches, and then just about double it to get you up to 52 inches of rain. Unheard of. And Hurricane Irma, the hurricane of hurricanes, setting new records, wind records, while it was roaring through and across the heathen islands. Seeing, and do you remember what everybody was saying? This is the governor saying, "We can't save you." The governor of Florida saying, "This is the worst hurricane that we've ever seen." The biggest, it dwarfed Hurricane Andrew, which was the last major storm back in 92 to really impact and hit Florida. It dwarfed Hurricane Andrew. And some of the people listened to the evacuation. This storm was about as bad as we've ever seen. People say, thank Cuba, that when the hurricane made landfall in Cuba, that it turned and weakened a little bit. No, I thank God Almighty is who I thank. and the members of the remnant that I've gotten emails from and had the opportunity to talk with over the phone that came through this. Had one member of the congregation wrote in, said, "We're in Sarasota, and here the eye was aimed right for it, and we prayed, and it just moved over a little bit. We had just minor damage." Talked to another Christian, had just a couple shingles, and the eye passed within 20 miles of his house, inland, right in the middle of the state. Had a couple shingles blow off and a little bit of sighting, nothing major. We were fine, he said. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Had other family members gathered together, lost power for a little while, maybe a day. Lost the internet. Oh well, we can live without that. Had a couple trees go down, but had an opportunity with lots of family there to pitch in and clean it all up. And had an opportunity to help those less fortunate, to be able to help the neighbors, help neighbors and help friends, help people that didn't have anywhere to go, maybe lived by themselves in a small trailer house. And those are not the safest places in tornadoes and hurricanes. That's where I grew up in one. They're not the safest places. But True Christianity was offered, said, "No, hey, come on over to our house. Fellowship with us." In Luke 21, verse 13, it says, "It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony." So Christians, we've kind of been warning you. You've read in these articles, John's kind of given you a little review of the last several years worth of Branson themes and some of the things that over the past 30 plus years, and especially the last couple years, that this ministry, that all of us here at this ministry have done our best to warn you and to encourage you to be ready. Well, when you read Luke 21, it tells about wars and disturbances and earthquakes and famines and plagues, and we are seeing those things now more and more. But these are not things for us to worry about. We're told in the scriptures that when we see these signs in the heavens that we are not to fear, although the other people fear, that we are not to. That is one of the ways we are to be ye separate. So I encourage you, be ye separate and be ready for Luke 21:13. Be ready for the opportunity to give your testimony. Remember in Revelation 12:11, that is one of the ways, that is one of the tickets, that's one of the ingredients of how we overcome. We want to be overcomers. Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb." And that, of course, that's the blood of Jesus Christ, properly and rightfully applied. And Revelation 12:11 goes on and says, "And because of the word of their testimony." You don't have to believe me, folks. You can open your Bible and take a look at it. It's not that the blood of the Lamb is not sufficient. It's just that to overcome, we apply that blood of the Lamb. And then we are not ashamed of Him. We have a testimony. We sing praises to God. We thank Him. Lord, we thank You for the stars in the heavens. We thank You for the storms that have just rolled into this nation, Lord. These hurricanes, record-setting hurricanes, Lord, record-setting wind and rain, and Lord, also record-setting grace and mercy, and record-setting Christianity in action, seeing Your people reach out and show the love of Christ and live and do the love of Christ. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that You are opening the eyes of the remnant. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for answered prayers, for healings, for protection, for provision. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you tune in, folks, to the Wednesday night prayer meeting last night? If you're not doing that, I encourage you, make time for that. 55 minutes a week. Make time for that Wednesday night prayer meeting. Come on with us. You don't have to call in, but tune in. Send us an email if you do email. Be on the prayer chain so we can send you those prayer requests. Pray for the remnant. Pray for those that are in need. Did you hear the praise report? Strokes healed. Healed. To where the doctors want to study the man to find out how he was healed so completely and so quickly. Praise the Lord. Did you hear the praise reports? Feet, doctor saying, going to have to cut your foot off. And after prayers offered up and answered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well, we don't have to cut your foot off anymore. Thank you, Lord. Let's look over at Psalms 22. Not part of our Bible reading plan today, and I don't have my Bible there, but let's flip over there. Take a look at this. I want you to just put a bookmarker in your Bible, or a Bible bookmarker, ideally, at Psalm 22. This is David's... where am I at? There we go. One more page. It is a Psalm of David, and I encourage you to read it. Of course, it comes right in between, before the 23rd Psalm, but I encourage you to read it. Put a bookmark there. Don't have time to go over it tonight, but verse 22, I will tell of your name to my brethren. There's a testimony. There is not being ashamed of our God. And we see it, Old Testament, New Testament, we see it throughout. In Luke 6, a couple verses there, I want to talk about this a little bit. Luke 6, starting in verse 46, says, and these are the words of Christ, red letters here, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And I say, America, why do you call him Lord and not do what he says? And I say to you, tuning in, Christian, you call yourself a Christian. Why do you call Jesus Christ Lord and not do what he says? Obedience to doing what he says plays a big part in these prayers being answered, in these healings that we heard of last night, in this protection and these deliverances and the provisions that we hear of, that we see, that come from God. These things are not being poured out this way on the lawless and the disobedient. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Remnant, we have seen physical storms come to this nation. We have seen the signs in the heavens. We still are. We see the signs that God sends. And we have his word that tells us what to do. Why do we call him Lord, Lord, and not do what he says? So let me ask you, remnant, how do you want your house to be? Because the storms are coming. The people in Houston were not expecting the flooding they got, but they got it. Have you seen Jacksonville, Florida? Have you seen some of the flooding there? Have you seen some of the flooding in Charleston, South Carolina? This hurricane's coming up the other coast of Florida. What have they got to worry about? Have you seen the massive flooding there? Some houses had a foundation, and they stood. And some didn't, and they fell. So how do you want your house to be? Your physical house, yes, but also your spiritual house, your family, you. In Hebrews 5:8, it's telling about Jesus, and it says, although he was a son, meaning Jesus Christ, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And John read a little bit from Hebrews last night. I encourage you to go and read that. Read Hebrews 5. It talks about discipline. It talks about learning obedience. It talks about suffering. We may be facing suffering on a grand scale here in this nation. The people in Houston are facing suffering. And the small towns, Port Aransas, Bayport, Katy, they are suffering. They are, as sons of God, they are learning obedience. It's not that they're only being punished, but God brings things to our life so that we learn obedience. So we will draw closer to Him. When we read the Gospels and we read of the life of Christ and we read, as it was recorded, some of the things that he did, remember how much he prayed, how much he was obedient. He did what he was told to do. In Romans 5:19 through 21, we read of his obedience as well. Starting in verse 19, Romans 5 says, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. And of course, there he's talking about Adam. It goes on, even so through the obedience of the one, Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. That was one of the reasons that our Lord and Savior learned obedience, and through the things that he suffered, was that so the righteousness could be imparted to us. It goes on in Romans 5:20, the law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin still is on the increase. Well, his grace does as well. Further on, it says, well, should we sin more now that we have grace? Heavens, no. No. No, we don't abuse it that way. But obedience is what I'm talking about here. And we hear so many times that, well, there's just nothing you can do. God did it all. Jesus did it all on the cross. Well, no, Jesus honors those that honor him. Jesus delivered. God heard and healed. And he heard and delivered and he heard and protected those that call him King, that not only call him Lord, Lord, but do what he says. That is why obedience is so important. 1 Peter 1, a couple verses here, starting in verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. Verse 24. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. And thank God Almighty, that word is still preached to us. We still have his word that we have the opportunity, the choice, to go and to read. Or not. Or we can go watch the ball game and do everything else. Well, do have the phone lines open tonight, folks. We've got about 20 minutes left in the broadcast. 307-745-5913. Romans 6, 16 through 18. Want to read this real quick, have a quick comment on that. Romans 6, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were, and I would say we were, slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. See, this, you know, we remember that Jesus paid the price, but we have to obey his word to be able to attain to that he's already paid the price for. Slaves of sin or slaves of righteousness? The choice is ours. Let's go to the phone lines. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hi, Richard.
How are you today?
Okay. You know, it's a real common thing amongst most all of the modern churches to say it's all by grace. It's not by any of your works. There's no works, you know, involved. And that's true and not true. The early church explained that so easily in just one sentence. It's not by works that you do that you're saved, but you are saved by the works that the Holy Ghost does in you.
Yes. Yes, the works that we do don't bring us to righteousness,
so
but it's the righteousness that drives us to the good works.
The dividing line is between the works that you would have been doing before you became a believer and became baptized and got the Holy Spirit. None of those works that you could have done on your own before that would amount to anything that could help you, because you had no spirit in you, and your works would have been nothing. There's nothing that you could do that could atone for your sins. But now that you get the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit works in you through your life to sanctify you, which, you know, the true meaning of sanctification is purifying you by putting off your sins.
Yes.
So if you're not being sanctified, you know, if you are engaged in a lifestyle of sin, you're not being sanctified, which means, well, the Holy Spirit isn't doing in you what it should be doing, and you've got a problem.
Yeah.
You know, but the modern church wants to tell you, no, as long as I'm a believer, it's just by belief only, by faith only.
Yeah.
They tie faith into belief alone with no other action.
Right. And it's not there.
Well, I believe, so therefore I'm in. I'm
amen.
Locked in.
Amen. And that faith thing, that is, as our pastor taught, that is putting that belief into action. And you have to have that. How many times do we read that? You know, you show me your faith, show me your works. By their fruits you shall know them, not by their beliefs.
Exactly. And you see, there has always been a problem with people understanding James, the book of James, because it seems like James is contradicting what they believe Paul is telling you. It is not.
No, not at all.
You do still have to have works, but you have to have the works of the Holy Spirit working in you, cleaning you up and helping to prepare you for you know, your eventual salvation, you know, your eventual next kingdom.
Amen. Yep. Yeah, the book of James, it reminds us that, and we've seen that come out. We really saw it down in Texas. We've seen it in Florida as well, you know, the good works that true Christians have done, and that is real Christian faith.
And they're not doing those works to be saved.
They're doing it because
they would think of nothing else but to do that.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Well, James 2:19.
You mentioned, people will often say, well, this, like speaking in tongues is the absolute proof that I've got the Holy Spirit. And that's not exactly true. The only real truth, the only real true way of knowing that you've got the Spirit or someone else has is by the fruits of what they're doing.
It is by their fruits. Absolutely it is.
Do they have the laws of God written on their hearts, and are they acting accordingly? That's how you really know, or even for your own self.
Amen.
You know, am I
That's
acting
right.
accordingly?
That's
I'm
right.
not just
are
putting
they...
that on like a way to, you know,
right. Are we
judge
doing?
Somebody else, but you should be judging your own self.
Right.
You know, am I acting right? Am I living
Amen.
Right? Am I doing what should be doing right? You know.
It is. It is. You know, we I've said it before, but I taught my oldest son very early. We lived in Florida. And you could drive through citrus groves and look at the tree. And I remember asking, what kind of tree is that? Well, I don't know. It doesn't have any fruit on it. Could be a grapefruit tree, could be an orange tree, could be a tangerine tree. Without the fruit, you don't know. And that's how it is. You have to have that fruit. Hey, brother, thanks for the call. We got another caller we're going to try to get to. God bless. And let's get another caller. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Richard, Joe here.
Hey, good evening, Joe. How are things up in the great state of PA?
Well, we're having some cool weather and a fair amount of rain.
Well, good.
And it looks good.
Good. So. You know, summer's wrapping up, but this weekend we'll start easing into fall, and praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was reading in Philemon here a few days ago, chapter 1, verse 6, and it talks about the fellowship of your faith. And it kind of jumped out at me, as it sometimes does, because I don't really understand a lot of the words, the verbiage of the Apostle Paul.
it can be a little challenging. What part of in Paul's letter there, Philemon? What part were you talking about?
Excuse me, Philemon 1:6, where it talks about the fellowship of your faith.
Okay.
And it occurred to me that faith has many aspects, and one of those is the fellowship of your faith. And it's I jotted down a couple of notes here. Pastor Peters talked about faith and belief being not really the same.
Right.
And it's just another part of faith that you need to develop. Fellowshipping is part of faith, but in order to get faith, you need to believe, and that's part of if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I think it's verse 21. Correct me if I'm wrong. There are those who believe who need to be saved through the message preached to them. Do you follow me?
Well, in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says, "For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe."
Yeah.
So
in other words, people who believe, I guess Paul was, is talking to the Corinthians through his letters, to try to save those who believe.
Yeah.
You know, through the message preached, which is the gospel message, I guess.
Amen. In that it is, but it's not of the world. It's definitely of God. And you know this that you talked about in Philemon. This is the shortest of Paul's letters here, and when he writes this, and starting in verse 4, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. To be that elegant, huh? In your writing and in your thoughts. But the fellowship of your faith. We have to, again, it's that fruit, I think, that we are to show. It's one thing to say you're a Christian. I've got a headline here I got from Christian News. Most professing Christians in Church of England never read the Bible, the survey says. See, they profess to be a Christian, but they really aren't. And to truly be a Christian, you know, this whole letter of Philemon is Paul asking Philemon to forgive. It's all about forgiveness, as so much is, because Christ forgave, and we're told in Matthew that if we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven from our Heavenly Father. It's as simple as that. And part of that, I think, is that the way it says, that fellowship of our faith, that we have to do, just like we're doing here, we have to talk and to interact with believers and to bounce things off each other and to, hey, I read this the other day. Or, what do you think about that? And that increases, not only our faith, but I think it increases our belief. And it encourages us. I spoke with an elderly lady down in Florida today. In Ocala, and first time I've had a chance to talk to her since the hurricane, and asked how they were doing, and she said they were fine. She said they had a couple pine trees, surrounded by pine trees, had a couple of them that leaned over a little bit, but she didn't have, after the storm, she didn't have one pine needle in her yard. You remember the islands?
They kind of leaned over a little
bit.
They
leaned over a little bit, but that's what pine trees do. But yeah. Remember the islands? They showed before and after pictures, and every leaf is blown off. They have been stripped clean. But see, not for God's people. For God's people, not a pine needle in the yard. I remember our brother Ralph giving a testimony one time about a tornado just down the road in his community. But at his house, didn't even have any leaves in the yard. The garbage cans weren't blown over. And to me, that you know, as we read here, this fellowship of your faith becoming effective, that encourages me. That increases my faith. That increases my belief when I can hear and believe and have that type of fellowship with believers.
Amen to that.
Yeah, What a story. This little Philemon, shortest letter that Paul wrote. I like what he says here in verse 17, and we're just about out of time, but I want to read it. It says, Paul says, if then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. And this is Paul, you know, he's asking on behalf of this former slave, but isn't that what Jesus did for us, to God?
Mm-hmm.
God, if he owes you anything, you charge that to me.
Charge that to me.
Put that on me. That's the kind of Lord we serve. That's
Amen.
The kind of God we serve. And...
All right, then.
Anyway.
I'll let you go there,
Joe,
Richard.
Good talking to you. Thanks
I
for bringing that up.
Bring that up.
Oh,
there.
I appreciate it.
It popped out at me
in
my Bible reading here in the last week or so, I guess.
Well, praise the Lord.
So,
praise the Lord. Thanks, brother. God bless.
Have a good evening.
You too.
All right, bye.
Folks, we'll wrap up in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, starting in verse 4. We'll start in verse 5. Who are protected by the power of God. And that is what these people that we've heard these testimonies, that I have heard anyway and shared with you tonight, they are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In verse 13, it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. See, there's work, not just believe. Make sure you believe. That's not what it says. We believe, and then we prepare our minds for action. We keep sober in spirit, it says. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, there's that obedience again. We call him Lord, Lord, and we do what he says. That's what obedient children do. And that's what we are to do. Well, we are just out of time. I see the line ringing again, but we have just ran out of time tonight. Well, folks, thanks for tuning in. I'll have to get this line off the air. And join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, right here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network.
About what's really going on. No one's got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand. Holiness has drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Now listen, it ain't flesh and blood, righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes. Praying to the Father in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus.
He said the gates of hell cannot stand.